Welcome to episode 28 of Theatre Audience Podcast. I'm Natalie and I bring you the news, reviews, interviews and recommendations of the latest must-see theatre. I'm keen for the creative process of Theatre Audience Podcast to be quite organic and interactive in light of theatres sadly remaining closed for the foreseeable future. So please join me on Instagram Live at 5 every Thursday where I chat about the week's theatrical events with my friend, who's a producer, Darren Murphy. In previous episodes, I've discussed what's on, what's been and gone, and where to find the best theatrical entertainment online during the lockdown, bringing you the latest developments and press announcements in the world of theatre in these unprecedented times. So a little bit of background on me. I acted professionally after drama school and graduated from Warwick University. I've been teaching drama, head of arts faculty and director of drama in four very different secondary school settings for the last 18 years. So today's episode is part of my Theatre in Quarantine series, Trapped Teaching Shakespeare. So due to school closure and in the absence of being able to do our magical promenade and Midsummer Night's Dream summer show this year, I thought I'd use the voices of our talented students in the cast of our show, as this show must go on. So A Midsummer Night's Dream is a comedy written by William Shakespeare, circa 1595. The play consists of multiple subplots that revolve around the marriage of Theseus and Hippolyta. One subplot revolves around a conflict between four runaway Athenian lovers, Helena, Hermia, Demetrius, and Lysander, who find themselves smack bang in the middle of a dispute between the king and queen of the fairies, Oberon and Titania. Another subplot is about a troupe of amateur actors, including Bottom, who is trying to rehearse their interpretation of the play Pyramus and Thisbe to be performed at the wedding of Theseus and Hippolyta. These subplots take place in a forest inhabited by fairies who control the characters of the play. Between these unlikely groups flies the magical spirit Puck, armed only with a wicked sense of humour and a love potion capable of making anyone fall for the first person that they set eyes upon on waking. What could possibly go wrong? This play is one of Shakespeare's most popular works for the stage and is widely performed across the world. Look out for these famous lines. The course of true love never did run smooth. Love looks not with the eyes, but with the mind, and therefore is winged Cupid painted blind. And Lord, what fools these mortals be. So I'll now leave you in the capable hands of our talented students to tell you the story. We do hope you enjoy it.
Act 1. Duke Theseus prepares for his marriage to Hippolyta, Queen of the Amazons.
Now, fair Hippolyta, our nuptial hour draws on apace. Four happy days bringing another moon. But oh, methinks, how slow this old moon wanes. She lingers my desires, like to a stepdame or a dowager, long withering out her young man revenue.
4 days will quickly steep themselves in night, 4 nights will quickly dream away the time. And then the moon, like to a silver bow, new bent in heaven, shall behold the night of our solemnities.
He is interrupted by a courtier, Aegeus. Aegeus asks for the Duke to intervene in a dispute. His daughter, Hermia, will not agree to marry Demetrius, whom Aegeus has chosen for her, because she loves a gentleman named Lysander.
Full of vexation come I, with complaint, against my child, my daughter Hermia. Stand forth, Demetrius. My noble lord, this man hath my consent to marry her. Stand forth, Lysander. And my gracious duke, this man hath bewitched the bosom of my child.
The duke asks Hermia to be obedient to her father. He offers her one of two options. She must either die or accept a celibate life as a nun in Diana's temple. the course of true love never did run smooth.
Naturally upset with this offer, Lysander and Hermia plan to elope and share their secret with Helena, Hermia's friend.
If venture lovers have ever been crossed, it stands as an edict in destiny. Then let us teach our trial patience, because it is a customary cross, as due to love, as thoughts and dreams and sighs, wishes and tears poor fancy's followers.
A good persuasion. Therefore hear me, Hermia. I have a widow aunt, a dowager, of great revenue, and she hath no child. From Athens is her house, remote 7 leagues, and she respects me as her only son. There, gentle Hermia, may I marry thee.
Helena is desperately in love with Demetrius, who seems to have abandoned her in favour of Hermia. At night, Lysander and Hermia escape from Athens, but they soon lose their way in the woods. After Helena tells him of their intention to defy the law, Demetrius decides to follow the lovers into the woods. In turn, Helena follows Demetrius in the hope that he will give up on Hermia and choose her instead. How happy some or other some can be. Through Athens I am thought as fair as she. But what of that? Demetrius thinks not so. He will not know what all but he do know. And as he errs, doting on Hermia's eyes, so I, admiring of his qualities, I will go tell him of fair Hermia's flight. Then to the wood will he, tomorrow night, pursue her. And for this intelligence, if I have thanks, it is a dear expense. But here mean I to enrich my pain, to have his sight thither and back again.
Meanwhile, a group of workmen are preparing a play of the tragic love story of Pyramus and Thisbe to present before the Duke Theseus on his wedding day. Nick Bottom, the weaver, is to play the lover Pyramus, while Flute, the bellows mender, begrudgingly agrees to play Thisbe.
Oh, let me play the lion too. I will roar that I will do any man's heart good to hear me. I will roar that I'll make the queen say, "Let him roar again. Let him roar again." I grant you, friends, if that you should fright the ladies out of their wits, they would have no more discretion but to hang us. But I will aggravate my voice so that I will roar you as gently as any sucking dove. I will roar you and twir any nightingale.
You can play no part but Pyramus, for Pyramus is a sweet-faced man, a proper man, as one shall see in a summer's day, a most lovely, gentlemanlike man. Therefore, you must needs play Pyramus. But, masters, here are your parts, and I am to entreat you, request you, and desire you to con them by tomorrow night.
Act 2. Nearby, in the woods, in the kingdom of the fairies.
Over hill, over dale, through bush, through briar, over park, over pale, through flood, through fire, we do wander everywhere, swifter than the moon's sphere, and I serve the fairy queen to dew her orbs upon the green.
The cowslips tall her pensioners be, in their gold coat spots you see. Those be rubies, fairy favours, in those freckles live their savours. I must go seek some dewdrops here, and hang a pearl in every cowslip's ear. Farewell, thou lob of spirits, we'll be gone, our queen and all our elves come here anon.
Either I mistake your shape, and make inquite, or else you are that shrewd and knavish sprite called Robin Goodfellow. Are not you he that frights the maidens of the villagery?
Skim milk and sometimes labour in the quern, and bootless make the breathless housewife churn.
And sometime make the drink to bear no balm, mislead night wanderers laughing at their harm.
Those that hobgoblin call you sweet puck, you do their work and they shall have good luck, are not to you he?
Thou speakest aright, I am that merry wanderer of the night. I jest to Oberon and make him smile, when I a fat and bean-fed horse beguile.
Oberon, king of the fairies, has recently quarrelled with his queen Titania. She acquired a magical child from one of her waiting women, and now refuses to hand him over to Oberon to use as a page. Oberon begins to plot a way to get revenge on Titania for her disobedience. Ill met by moonlight, proud Titania. Do you amend it then? It lies in you. Why should Titania cross her Oberon? I do but beg a little changeling boy to be my henchman.
Set your heart at rest. The fairyland buys not the child of me. His mother was a votaress of my order, and in the spiced Indian air by night, full often hath she gossip by my side, and sat with me on Neptune's yellow sands. Marking the embarked traders on the flood, when we have laughed to see the sails conceive and grow big-bellied with the wanton wind, which she, with pretty and with swimming gait, following her womb then rich with my young squire, would imitate and sail upon the land to fetch me trifles and return again as from a voyage rich with merchandise. But she, being mortal, of that boy did die. And for her sake do I rear up her boy, and for her sake I will not part with him.
He sends his fairy servant, Puck, to fetch a purple flower, with juice that makes people fall in love with the next creature they see. I'll put a girdle round about the earth in 40 minutes. Afterwards, Oberon overhears Helena and Demetrius arguing in the forest.
I love thee not, therefore pursue me not. Where is Lysander and fair Hermia? The one I'll slay, the other slayeth me. Thou told'st me they were stolen unto this wood, and here am I, and woed within this wood, because I cannot meet my Hermia. Hence, get thee gone, and follow me no more.
You draw me, you hard-hearted adamant, but yet you draw not iron, for my heart is true as steel. Leave you your power to draw, and I shall have no power to follow.
Oberon hears Demetrius mistreat Helena and tells Puck to anoint the Athenian. So Demetrius will fall in love with the first person that he sees. Puck mistakes the Athenian and puts the flower juice on the eyes of the sleeping Lysander.
Through the forest have I gone, but Athenian found I none. On whose eyes am I to prove this flower's force in stirring love? Night and silence. Who is here? Weeds of Athens he doth wear. This is he, my master said. Despise the Athenian maid. And hear the maiden sleeping sound on the dank and dirty ground. Pretty soul, she durst not lie near this lack love, this kill courtesy. Churl, upon the eyes I throw all the power this charm doth owe. When thou wakest, let love forbid sleep his seat on thy eyelid. So awake when I am gone, for I must now to Oberon.
When Lysander is woken by Helena, he immediately falls in love with her and rejects Hermia. Helena is confused. Content with Hermia? No, I do repent the tedious minutes I with her have spent. Not Hermia, but Helena I love, who will not change a raven for a dove. When Demetrius rests, Oberon puts magic juice in his eyes, which makes him fall in love with Helena as well.
Act 3. The workers' rehearsals in the wood are overheard by Puck, who plays a trick on them by giving Bottom an ass's head. After frightening the others away, Bottom is lured towards the sleeping Titania, whom Oberon has anointed with Puck's magic flower juice. On waking, the fairy queen falls in love with the ass and entertains him with her fairies.
What angel wakes me from my flowery bed? Out of this wood do you not desire to go? Thou shalt remain here whether thou wilt or no. And I do love thee. Therefore go with me. I'll give thee fairies to attend on thee, and they shall fetch thee jewels from the deep and sing while thou on pressed flowers dost sleep. And I will purge thy mortal grossness so that thou shalt like an airy spirit go. Peace blossom, cobweb, moth, and mustard seed.
Ready.
And I.
And I.
And I.
Meanwhile, Demetrius and Lysander, still under the spell of the flower juice, pursue Helena. Hermia is jealous and confused about the lack of attention paid to her.
Oh, Helena! Goddess, nymph, perfect, divine! To what, my love, shall I compare thine eye? Crystal is muddy, oh, how ripe and sure thy lips, those kissing cherries, tempting grow.
Oh, spite, oh, hell, I see you are all bent, set against me for your merriment. If you were civil and knew courtesy, you would not do me thus much injury. Can you not hate me as I know you do, but must you join in souls to mock me too?
You are unkind, Demetrius, be not so. For you love Hermia, this you know I know. And here with all goodwill, with all my heart, in Hermia's love I yield you up my part, and yours of Helena to me bequeath, whom I do love and will do till my death.
I am amazed at your passionate words. I scorn you not. It seems that you scorn me. What, can you do me no greater harm than hate? Hate me, therefore. Oh me, what news, my love? Am I not Hermia? Are you not Lysander? I'm as fair now as I was erewhile. Since night you loved me, yet since night you left me. Why then you left me? Oh, the gods forbid, in earnest shall I say?
Oberon and Puck watch the chaos, and Oberon commands Puck to put it right again. The lovers' arguments have tired them all out as they chase one another through the woods. Puck eventually distracts the two men from their pursuit of Helena by impersonating their voices, and they get lost in the woods. The four lovers fall asleep, exhausted. Puck places restorative juice on Lysander's eyes.
Act 4. After an afternoon of being pampered by Titania's fairies, Bottom falls asleep beside her. Oberon restores Titania's sight and wakes her, thank goodness.
After expressing her dismay at the sight of Bottom, she reconciles with Oberon and she ends up giving him Little Indian Prince for his page.
The lovers are woken by Theseus and Hippolyta's hunting party. Lysander sees Hermia and falls in love with her once again. I pray to you all, stand up. I know you two are rival enemies. How come this gentle concord in the world, that hatred is so far from jealousy, to sleep by hate and fear no enmity?
Bottom awakes, and his ass head is removed, and he returns to the city to rejoin his friends as they prepare to perform their play.
When my cue comes, call me. God's my life, stolen hence and left me asleep. I have had a most rare vision. I have had a dream, past the wit of man to say what dream it was. Man is but an ass if he go about to expound this dream. Methought I was, and methought I had, but man is but a patched fool if he will offer to say what methought had. I will get Peter Quince to write a ballad of this dream, and it shall be called Bottom's Dream.
Act 5. Happily reunited, they agree to share the Duke's wedding day. The play of Pyramus and Thisbe is presented before the wedding guests of the three happy couples.
A tedious brief scene of young Pyramus and his love Thisbe. Very tragical mirth. Merry and tragical. Tedious and brief. A play there is, my lord, some 10 words long, which is as brief as I have known a play. But by 10 words, my lord, it is too long. Hard-handed men that work in Athens here, which never laboured in their minds till now, and now have toiled their unbreathed memories with this same play.
Gentles, perchance you wonder at this show. This man is Pyramus, if you would know. This beauteous lady, Thisbe, is certain. This man with lime and rough cast doth present wall, and that vile wall which did these lovers sunder, and through all shink, poor souls, their content to whisper. This man with lambthorn, dog, and bush of thorn presenteth moonshine. For, if you will know, By moonshine did these lovers think no scorn to meet at Nina's tomb. There to woo this grisly beast, which lion hight by name, the trusty Thisbe, coming first by night, did scare away, or rather did affright, and as she fled, her mantle did she fall, which lion vile with bloody mouth did stain. Anon comes Pyramus, sweet youth and tall, and finds his trusty Thisbe's mantle slain, whereat with blade was bloody blameful blade. He bravely broached his boiling bloody breast, and Thisbe, tarrying in mulberry shade, his dagger drew and died. For all the rest, let lion, moonshine, wall, and lovers twain at large discourse, while here they do remain.
In this same interlude, it doth befall that I, one snout by name, present a wall, and such a wall as I would have you think, that had in it a crannied hole or chink, through which the lovers, Pyramus and Thisbe, did whisper often very secretly, this loam, this rough cast, and this stone doth show that I am the same wall, the truth is so, and this the cranny is, right and sinister, through which the fearful lovers are to whisper.
You, ladies, you, whose gentle hearts do fear the smallest monstrous mouse that creeps on the floor, may now, perchance, both quake and tremble here, when lion rough in wildest rage doth roar. Then know that I, one, snug the joiner, am a lion fell, nor else no lion's dam.
All I have to say is to tell you that Lambthorn is the moon, I the manneth moon, this thornbush, my thornbush, and this dog, my dog.
Oh, wherefore, nature, didst thou lion frame, since lion vile hath deflowered my dear, which is, no, which was the fairest dame that lived, that loved, that liked, that looked with cheer. Come, tears, confound, out sword and wound, thus die I. Thus. Now am I dead. Now am I fled. My soul is in the sky. Tongue, loose thy light, moon, take thy flight. Now die.
Asleep, my love? What? Dead, my dove? O Pyramus, arise! Speak, quite done? Dead? A tomb must cover thy sweetest eyes. These, my lips, this cherry nose. These yellow cowslip cheeks are gone. Lovers make moan, tongue, not a word. Come trusty sword. Come blade, my breast in brew. And farewell, friends. Thus Thisbe ends. Adieu.
As the three couples retire to bed, Puck and the fairies return to bless the palace and its people.
Through the house, give gathering light, by the dead and drowsy fire,
every elf and fairy sprite hop as light as a bird from briar.
And this ditty after me, sing and dance trippingly.
First rehearse your song by rote, to each word a warbling note.
Hand in hand with fairy grace, while we sing and bless this place.
Now, until the break of day, through this house each fairy stray.
To the best bride bed will we, which by us will blessed be, and the issue there create, ever shall be fortunate.
So shall all the couples three, ever true in loving be, and the blots of nature's hand shall not in their issues stand.
Never mole, hair lip, nor scar, nor mark prodigious, such as are despised in nativity, shall upon their children be, with this field dew consecrate.
If we shadows have offended, think but this, and all is mended, that you have but slumbered here, while these visions did appear.
And this weak and idle theme, no more yielding but a dream.
Gentles, do not reprehend,
If you pardon, we will mend.
Else the puck a liar call. So, good night unto you all. Give me your hands if we be friends, and Robin shall restore amends.
And now for my finale and curtain call. A huge thank you to all our talented students at Colf School for their contributions to this episode. I look forward to seeing you all in September. As we're all missing the theatre, if you wish to reminisce previous productions or find out more about a show that you didn't get the chance to see, then why not listen to episodes 1 to 20 of Theatre Audience Podcast? In these, you can find discussions on West End musicals such as Hamilton, 9 to 5, and Juliet, Mamma Mia, Come From Away, Les Miserables, Prince of Egypt, Pretty Woman, and Dear Evan Hansen. And plays such as Fleabag, Coming Clean, Noises Off, Day and the Death of Joe Egg, Translations, Grown Ups, Henry VI, Death of a Salesman, Richard III, Endgame, Serrano, and Uncle Vanya. On many of these productions, I go backstage and interview actors and actresses, including Alice Fern, Gareth Snook, Rebecca Traherne, Patterson Joseph, Jonathan Broadbent, Ben Turner, Mark Holden, Kirsty Hoyles, Gemma Sutton, Rachel Tucker, and Olivier Award nominee Lauren Ward. At a time when many theatre fans around the world aren't able to visit theatre, venues such as the National Theatre are going to be streaming the Bridge Theatre's version of A Midsummer Night's Dream on YouTube for free for 1 week. This will be from Thursday the 25th of June at 7 p.m. I saw this last summer and it was immersive and a promenade production, and it got a 5-star review from me. This was the best dream that I've ever seen. And from Shakespeare's In the Globe in London, BBC Culture in Quarantine will be streaming their production of A Midsummer Night's Dream in June. This was a Bollywood-infused version of Shakespeare's comedy, and it was the first production to be streamed live from the Bankside venue, and is introduced by actress Meera Syal. It fuses music, dance, and some serious comedy. Emma Rice's dream is naughty, tender, transgressive, and surprising. A real festival of theatre. Please tune in next time and recommend us to all your friends and family. Follow us on Spotify, Facebook, and Instagram at Theatre Audience Podcast, and on Twitter at Theatre Audi Pod. And do send us any recommendations of things you think we should see and review. If you've enjoyed the show, then please subscribe and rate us on iTunes and leave us a little review. Until next time, goodbye and thank you for listening.